Hi everyone, this is Crystal from the Spooky Barber Babes, and today I have a special guest with me, Ernie Pack from the Save Waverly Hills group. Go ahead and say hi.
Hello, I appreciate you having me here. We are really working hard to get the word out, and I appreciate this opportunity to inform some more folks about what's going on at Waverly.
And thank you so much for taking the time to talk with us today. And I say us because I do have a cohort. She is just not available today, but she'll be popping on later, not in this interview, but chiming in on a follow-up that we might do later. So I kind of wanted to ask you, where did all of this start? Like, what was the whole falling off the wagon, I guess, per se, that caused this whole eruption to happen?
Honestly, I think what happened was the board of directors for the Waverly Hills Historical Society became dominated by this core clique of individuals that were all friends and family of one another from way back. And they saw that the building brings in a couple million dollars a year. And salaries were not being paid to board members at that time. They looked into it. They saw that board members were actually eligible for payment, and they wanted that money.
Gotcha.
But with Tina, the owner of the building, Tina Mattingly, as the executive director there, she was insisting that all the funds that were raised were going back into the restoration of the building.
Yeah.
And, you know, with the exception of expenses and, you know, paying tour guides and the necessary things. But beyond that, she didn't feel like anybody needed to be making a huge salary for doing basically a part-time job as being a board member. Well, these board members then decided they'd vote Tina out as executive director and start paying themselves big fat salaries. And that's what they've done.
So basically they wanted to take away from what money was going to the restoration and pocketing it for themselves, essentially.
Yeah, under the guise that we are the Waverly Hills Historical Society and we're responsible for all these renovations you've seen.
Oh.
No, Charlie Mattingly himself is responsible for all those renovations that he made based, you know, with the funds that they had been raising over the years through the haunted house and the tours and investigations and other events they held up there.
Now, Charlie hasn't taken a paycheck from this. Everything he's been making has just strictly been going right back in, correct?
Right, right. There were a couple of, I'm not the bookkeeper.
Yeah.
I don't know, but I do know there were some things that he did himself, that they would have had to have paid someone else to do. Like he would fabricate items or whatever. And he had a fabrication company at one point. Yeah. And so he would, you know, he would bill them through his fabrication company for certain little things. But I mean, we're not talking, you know.
Yeah, you're talking like little things because he probably had people that worked for him at the fabrication company that he had
exactly.
to pay.
Exactly.
Yeah. So there's no him pocketing anything. Everything he's pretty much made out of this has went back into the building, which is epic.
Yeah.
I can just imagine what it's like to kind of keep a place like that running, especially trying to restore it back to its former glory.
Yeah. Yeah. That's a $130 million project at minimum.
Holy crap.
I mean, you're talking about 187,000 square foot facility. So, and it's been, you know, it's set completely abandoned for 20 years and open to the elements and everything and got vandalized and all kinds of damage done to it. So, I mean, there's a lot of work into restoring it back to what it was. It's probably not anything that any of us will see in our lifetimes.
Yeah. Cause wasn't the building built back in the 1914 around there?
1924 is when they started construction on that building that you're familiar with.
Okay, gotcha. Because I know, wasn't there a hospital, like an old wooden hospital on that property as well back in the early, like before the building that's there now is?
Yeah, the first actual hospital up there, they had a tent city at one point during the early days of the TB epidemic. But the first actual hospital was a wooden frame facility that I believe had like 40 bed capacity, something like that, that opened in 1910.
Oh. All right. So that, cause I was doing a bunch of research on it and I was like, well, wait, I was like, there was a different hospital there. Okay.
Yeah.
Now, yeah, so
that's actually the third third build, they just kept getting bigger and bigger. They went they went from a 50 bed facility to a 150 bed facility, and then to the 400 bed facility that everybody knows, you know, the one that's still standing.
The one that everyone, it's every paranormal person's bucket list to go to.
Exactly. It's such an iconic, you know, facade, and just the expanse of that building when you come up the hill and see it, you know, just kind of, it's breathtaking to anybody that, for the first time, at least. For me, I mean, just about every time I go up the hill, I have that same feeling.
Yeah, I have not been there myself. It literally is on my bucket list, but I will not be going until Tina and Charlie get full control of it and the WHHS is out, because I don't like supporting people that are underhanded and like to take things. I mean, every documentary I've seen, every like Ghost Adventures, Ghost Hunters, all of them, I've always seen Tina there. I couldn't imagine that it would still be the same without her there going, welcome, you know. I can't imagine that.
Well, I mean, you can watch the episode of Destination Fear that was filmed last February there.
Oh, okay. And,
you know, you had Dale and Renee Clark welcoming Chelsea, Dakota, and company up there, and you can just see the feeling is totally different.
I'm gonna have to take a look into that one, because that I didn't know that they did an episode there.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, they were there last February, and Dale and Renee Clark welcomed them to the hill, and it was totally, you know, when Tina went at the opening of a show, when Tina would open the door to the building and say welcome, you got the feeling she was welcoming you into her home. Because she was. They lived there. They lived on the property, and you were made to feel at home and a guest in their home. And that's missing now. You know, that's, it's totally different now. Everyone that comes through the door is treated as a customer. It's just not.
That's not good.
They keep saying, and they harp on it. I mean, if you go to their social media pages, they harp on the fact that we have to run it like a business. And, you know, to a certain degree, yeah, you've got to do certain, you know, have certain business principles in place. But Waverly became famous and became what it is because of the atmosphere that Tina and Charlie created.
Yeah.
You know, where people felt welcome and they felt like they were a part of something.
I couldn't imagine it. It's probably feels so cold there now without that warm, loving environment. Now, I know you were saying that they lived on the property, and I know that it's kind of been public knowledge through the Save Waverly group that I joined, I want to say about a month and a half ago is when my sister had me join it, that Charlie and Tina are no longer on the property, correct?
They got kicked out.
So where are they?
They had another home that... they had rented out at one time. When they moved up to Waverly, they rented the house out for a short time. Well, pipes busted in there and flooded most of the house. And so it sat empty. And then when they kicked them, or they told them they had to leave the property, Charlie, you know, had to go in and make that place livable. And that then they moved in there. Now, okay. You know, you can go to the Waverly Hills Facebook page or to their website anywhere and ask anyone from the WHHS, they'll tell you that Tina and Charlie were not forced out.
Yeah, well, I did see that.
That, my friends, is a lie, plain and simple. I've seen the paperwork. They were given a specific date down to the hour that they had to be off the property. And if they were seen on the property after that point, they would be considered trespassers. They own the damn property.
So that's where this becomes a whole thing. Like, how is this legal? How is what they're doing legal if they don't even own the property? Like, that's what I don't understand.
It's not. And it's just that it wasn't even an official court document that told Tina and Charlie they had to be off the property. It was a letter from their attorneys, from the Waverly Hills Historical Society's attorneys, telling them they had to be off the property by a specific date and time. And at the time, Tina was very sick. Charlie was very sick. Tina had spent some 41 days or something like that in the ICU on the brink of death. And Charlie was needing a new pacemaker. He had blood sugar issues. He had some some other issues going on at the time. I mean, they were both really sick. You know, they're not young anymore. Yeah. And Charlie thought it was best, rather than fight them, to just go ahead and get away from the drama, move into the other house. He thought he could work things out with the board and he'd be back.
Yeah.
And so they got moved out. He tried to reach out to the board, wasn't getting a response. Then he did get a response, and it was a lawsuit that is about this thick, claiming damages for the things that they had done over the years to preserve and restore the building, claiming that they had used funds inappropriately. They had done things without the permission of the board, and on and on and on.
Now, correct me if I'm wrong, but the board was created by Tina and Charlie.
Yes.
I'm sorry. That just baffles me. How is it that these two had created this board, and this board's basically like, no, F you. We're done with you.
Well, remember I mentioned the building brings in $2 million or more a year.
Yeah.
And you get people that, I can tell you for a fact, there are several people on that board, including the executive director and his wife, that lived in a shady part of town, mm-hmm. in a shady house with the floor falling in. And now they have a nice new house.
When did they buy this new house?
Nice neighborhood. They moved into it last year, or just over a year ago.
So right as all of this was going on?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. That's interesting.
Pictures kind of coming together a little bit.
Yeah, it is. Now, you used to work with most of the people that are in that are like on the board right now, right?
Last year, after all this went down and Tina was fired as executive director, I was contacted by the board, a couple of members from the board, and asked if I would be interested in coming back to run the tours and investigate, or help with the tours and investigations up there.
Mm-hmm.
And, I was told all kinds of bad things that Tina and Charlie had done. At the time, I had had a dispute with Tina over something totally different,
mm-hmm.
and had quit a year prior. And so it was easy to convince me that they were these bad people at that time.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And I love the place. I mean, this right here.
Nice.
Room 502, Waverly Hills. That's where I met my wife. Through a spirit there. Long story. That's another book. But I love the place. You know, I'd grown up in the neighborhood. I'd been there off and on over the years as a guide, volunteer, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah, I was interested in coming back. Went up there. I took some, 13 or 14 people with me, including my wife, the rest of Wicked Wolf Pack Productions, which is members of the Black Wolf Paranormal, the Wicked Woman, Beth Allen, if you've heard of her, you know, lots of my friends from the paranormal community,
yeah.
and family came up there to help out. And we were running the tours, we were a part of the team running tours, mm-hmm. pretty much the entire team running the investigations. And they had probably the most successful year they've ever had for tours and investigations up there, because for the first time since the very beginning of Waverly, we had real paranormal investigators
mm-hmm.
giving tours and investigations up there, and not just volunteers who became tour guides, if you know what I'm saying. And, you know, no knock on any volunteers that become tour guides, but it's a whole different perspective when it's coming from someone who's an experienced investigator that's investigated all over the country and, you know, has seen all kinds of activity.
Yeah.
And so they were very successful last year. Well, we started asking some questions about various things that were going on with the lawsuit. because things didn't really add up to us, just like you. You know, it's like, how can they kick someone out of property that they own? How can you tell them they can't come on the property? Because we were actually told, if we see Tina or Charlie on the property, call the police and report them as trespassers.
But real quick, how would that work? I mean, if Tina and Charlie have proof that they own the property and that it's their property, how, if you call the cops and say, oh, they're not allowed to be here, but there's no actual like court order saying that they can't be there, like what would the police do?
I know a lot of the local police and they are laughing at this situation. I mean, they actually called them on us the other night at the protest.
Really?
And they came up and were like, whatever, you know. They called us, so we had to come.
Wow.
They called several times, in fact, because LMPD said, you know, we're not interested in dealing with that. They're, you know.
Yeah.
And they called several times, so they finally showed up. Five of them showed up, and five of them laughed and left.
Wow.
And then the next night, they called them again. So, you know, they're just, I'm going to have to edit myself here. They're just different.
It seems more like they know what they're doing is wrong, and that it's there's a word that I'm trying to think of where it's like you have a company coming in that into like another company and they try to buy out the company, but instead they force out the owners. Yes. Why is my brain not thinking of what that was? But that's really what it seems like. It's like, okay, that's, we're going to do a hostile takeover, take all the money. We'll take all the money, but once we get the money, then we'll give it back to you and we'll be good. That's kind of what I feel like they're trying to do.
I kind of sense that. I would not be surprised, in light of certain recent developments that I can't really talk about because they're not public record yet.
Yeah.
That I would not be surprised if they try to offer some type of negotiation to Charlie.
I hope Charlie tells them to go after along themselves. Those lines. I do too.
To be honest, because if you see Tina and Charlie and what they've been through, and you see how this has affected them, you know, emotionally, financially, in every way. I mean, it's just not fair. They are good people. I mean,
I saw the pictures from the protests and I'm just like, well, they were right out there with you guys.
Yes.
So it's just like, that just shows you how much they care. Like, it's like they want that. And it's just, it's so sad to know that people that they once trusted to help out have just become backstabbers and just, I don't know, just it's upsetting. And it's just like,
What frustrates me so as much as everything else that's gone on with this is they recently put out a video addressing the rumors.
I saw that.
And that video starts out with the lie that there's a group out there pretending to be raising funds to save Waverly Hills and preserve Waverly Hills. No. You go to our website, you go to our Facebook page, our group, everywhere you go, you see that all funds we raise are going to the legal defense of Tina and Charlie. We have never tried to mislead anyone with what we're raising funds for.
Yeah, it's literally in black and white on the black and yellow on the page.
Exactly, yeah.
But either way, it's right there on everything. Like, you're not saying, oh, well, we're raising money for this. No, it's straight up, this is what it is. This is what we're trying to do. Nothing that you guys are giving us is going to go to anything else but their legal team.
We are saving Waverly Hills from them.
Yeah. do you feel that what they're saying when they're like, oh, well, we're putting things up to fire code. Wouldn't Charlie have already done all that?
Here's the deal. Charlie and Tina, when they were running it, they always shut down after the haunted house and didn't open back up until March because the sprinkler system in the building is a wet system.
Okay.
What that means is that the sprinkler pipes stay charged with water. They're full of water at all times.
Yeah.
When it gets cold, there's no heat in that building. when it gets cold around here, those would freeze and bust if you didn't drain them. Okay.
Yeah.
So we would shut down, drain the sprinkler system, because according to fire code, you can't have events in the building without a fire suppression system. Okay. Mm-hmm. Well, they were running events all winter long until I made a post calling them out for it. Well, then they thought, because nobody up there has the mechanical know-how to know how to properly drain that system, they thought they had drained it.
Oh, no.
They still had pipes bust in one of the stairwells.
Oh, no.
And then they were doing all these tours and events all winter long with no fire suppression. So I went to the fire marshal's office, which is just about 400 yards from my house that way.
Oh, wow.
I went to the fire marshal's office and told him what was going on up there. And so he went up there and paid him a visit. So they have to work with the fire marshal now to bring things up to code. Whereas Charlie would reach a deal with the fire marshal to get a temporary permit. If we had any special events while the sprinkler system was drained,
mm-hmm.
he would make sure that he had plenty of fire extinguishers on hand, fire watch, whatever was needed to comply with the fire marshal at that time.
Oh,
they weren't doing anything, because they bit off more than they could chew. Charlie ran every aspect mechanically of that building, and he knew everything about it. There's no one up there now that knows anything about the mechanical aspects of running that building.
Oh, no.
They thought running the tours and investigations, hey, we've been tour guides, we can do this.
No, there's way more behind the scenes that you have to know about.
Yes.
Oh, now, so that that now leads to my other thing. So they're basically causing more damage, that when Charlie and Tina do get it back, they're going to have to put more money into fixing this.
Exactly. Not to mention the fact that the biggest fundraiser, the only reason that building is still standing is because Tina and Charlie did an annual haunted house there.
Mm-hmm.
It was the biggest fundraiser every year.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, a lot of people in the paranormal community especially will say things like, I don't like when they do haunted houses in haunted locations. I think it's disrespectful, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
Before, please hear me out on this. Waverly Hills welcomed its first patient October 20th, 1926. You know what? The first event they held, social event they held for the patients and guests at Waverly Hills was? It was a 2-day Halloween party.
Oh.
So basically, our haunted house is just carrying on that tradition that's nearly 100 years old.
That's awesome.
They did it every year. I mean, you know, they did whatever they could to make those patients feel like life was normal.
Yeah.
They had Christmas parties, dances, Halloween parties, hula luau's on the roof.
Oh, that's
We've
awesome.
Got pictures of ladies, you know, from the 1930s out on the roof in hula skirts and things. You know, I mean, they did everything they could to make the patients feel comfortable there and at home. And that's why so many of them are still there now.
Yeah.
So basically, they loved it.
So basically, Charlie and Tina did the haunted house as kind of like not just a tradition, but kind of like a celebration kind of thing.
It's a celebration, and it's a huge fundraiser.
Yeah.
It was the biggest fundraiser every year. You know, the tours and investigations bring in a lot of money.
Yeah.
But the haunted house alone, the 6 weeks that the haunted house, or 4 to 6 weeks that we would run the haunted house
mm-hmm.
in the fall, would make every bit as much money as you made the rest of the year on everything else.
Wow.
So
that's epic.
Yeah.
So I know you and I had some conversation beforehand, but kind of tell everybody what got you into working at Waverly. Cause I know you were talking to me about your investigation spirits and how you, the one spirit saved you and have you meet your wife. I would love for you to kind of like touch on that a little bit.
Okay. Well, I grew up in this neighborhood. Never lived more than a bike's ride from Waverly Hills. As a teenager, it kind of became a rite of passage thing back in the 80s.
Mm-hmm.
The building closed in 1981. And in those early days, it was just sitting there like someone had pulled all the patients out of it and left everything else behind. There were beds everywhere. There were still x-ray machines. There was, you name it. Everything was still there. And it was even cooler to go in there then than it is now.
I can imagine.
We would go in and just look around. I mean, I literally was a Boy Scout and was just fascinated with the old architecture and you know, everything that you'd see, because you could go to the x-ray room and open up file cabinets and pull out x-rays and things like that, you know.
Wow.
And I was just fascinated with looking around there. And we had some paranormal experiences back then as a teenager. I recall one time coming around a corner. The hallways kind of have a slight bend to them. And we came around one of the little bends in the hallway, and there's a wheelchair just kind of rolling in the hall in front of us. And, you know, we thought, oh, somebody's messing with us, you know. So we ran around. You can go out like onto the solarium area, breezeway, whatever you want to call it. And you can go down and then circle in behind whoever might have been up there rolling that wheelchair, right?
Yeah.
So a couple of guys went that way. We went this way. We were going to beat the hell out of them for messing with us, you know?
Yeah.
And no, there was nobody there. So, you know, all these teenage badasses turned into, I think we need to leave, you know? And, you know, I mean, there were a lot of things that we couldn't explain that happened there. I mean, like being there in pitch black and you see a room light up that, you know, no one's down there, because we, you know, you can see no one's there, but yeah, the room just lights up like someone turned a light on in there.
Oh, wow. And
there was no electricity in the building, you know, so there was no reason for that. But we had a lot of experiences like that. And so naturally after school, I was interested in the paranormal. I'd always been interested in the paranormal. I mean, I can remember back in grade school when I went to the library, I'd check out books on ghosts and Bigfoot and Loch Ness Monster. And, yep, you know, while everybody else is getting, you know, See John Run, you know, I'm like, you know, looking at the Patterson-Gimlin footage, you know, of Bigfoot, you know, that kind of thing. Anyway, I started investigating paranormal, you know, just as a, I don't know, pastime, I guess, in my adult life. Eventually, I started a website called True Paranormal that's not around anymore. And then when Tina and Charlie bought Waverly Hills, I heard through people in the neighborhood that they were taking volunteers to help them clean it up. Because by that time, by 2001, when they bought it, it was a shambles. I mean, there were trees growing inside of it. Broken glass everywhere, drywall or plaster everywhere. Just, it was destroyed. All the equipment had been either destroyed or auctioned off. There were busted toilets all around the building where security for the former owner, they would take the toilets out and then throw them off the roof. It was a game, you know. So,
okay.
Yeah, I don't know. So I went up there, volunteered, helped with cleanup a little bit. One day I was up there doing that, and I was just fascinated with the place. And I was kind of wandering around looking at things. Mm-hmm. And this guy comes around the corner, this stocky, dark-haired guy with a goatee that I didn't know who he was. I'd never seen him before myself. And he's like, what are you doing? I said, just looking around. He said, that's not what you're here for. You're here to work. If you want to work, we can use your help. Otherwise, you need to just wait till we get the tours going, come back and take a tour. And I was like, okay. And I left. Later found out that was Charlie Mattingly.
okay.
Yeah. Who's now one of my best friends, you know. But so I came back. I took a couple tours and heard a bunch of lies from the people that were giving tours back then about things like a draining room and 63,000 people died in here and, you know, all kinds of nonsense. You can go online and a lot of people still believe those kinds of things, you know, that bodies were hung up and gutted and drained of all their blood and fluids and everything in a draining room.
Wow. That's what
the group that used to run the tours up there would tell, which, by the way, several of the board members now are from that group. Yeah, including your executive director, his wife, the director of operations, and her wife. Anyway, stayed fascinated with Waverly. Once I asked Tina several times if they needed any help, and finally she told me they could use some help with the haunted house. And so I went up there and worked the haunted house 1 year, and then stayed on after that and wouldn't go away.
And I love how you said wouldn't go away.
I wouldn't go away. And so I became a host for the private overnight investigations. I would help with the public overnights. I would help with the 2-hour tours, a little bit of everything. And I worked off and on up there, different stints because of my work schedule. I would have to quit from time to time. And, you know, then I'd come back in a year or two and work for a little ways and be gone again. And it's a place, there's a video out there that I shared in the group the other day that was made in 2007 of Tina and Charlie talking about the building. And Tina says in there that the building will call to who she wants. And Waverly has definitely always called to me. And in 2019, I was hosting the private investigations up there. And there was a group that came. It was a mother and several of her daughters and several of her friends. And I was giving them the tour of the building. There's a story that people hear about room 502 that's been passed down. It's based on hearsay. There might be some truth to it. I don't know. But the story is of a nurse who was found hanging outside of room 502, where they talk about how she was having an affair with a married doctor. She had gotten pregnant.
I remember hearing about this. Yes.
Yeah. She had given herself an abortion or had an abortion and then hung herself outside of room 502. And that story, for a lot of reasons, never made any sense to me. And since the first time I started investigating Waverly or working at Waverly, I would go up there and try to communicate with that nurse.
Yeah.
And I started getting evidence from her and started, you know, piecing together a whole different story based on the evidence I was getting. So when I gave the tour, June 20th, 2019, I was telling the old story. And then I said, but let me tell you what I've heard through my own research. And I told Sarah's story as she has told it to me. Now, you know, people will tell you that there's a different name for the nurse that was found hanging and blah, blah, blah. I don't know. I know that there's a spirit up there named Sarah that has communicated with me consistently for years.
Oh, wow.
And so anyway, I told the story based on how Sarah had told it to me, to this group. And I look over and this woman is kind of nodding and grinning as I'm telling the story. And I'm like, usually I get people going, huh? What? Wow. You know, but she was like grinning like, yep, you're right. Yep. So when I finished the tour, I kind of pulled her aside. I said, I noticed when I was telling Sarah's story that you were, you know, following along. And she said, yeah, I've been coming here since 2009, once, sometimes two or three times a year. And I've gotten the same story. I've got evidence myself that backs up exactly what you're saying.
Oh, wow.
I got the name Sarah and all this. And I was like, really? So her and I started talking more. We made it our mission to tell Sarah's story and investigate it, find out as much as we could about it. And through all of that, we wound up getting married.
Aww.
Last year.
Oh, that's so cute.
So that's what I, you know, I mean, that's, we both got these tattoos. And
oh, wow. That's awesome.
No, so it's all Sarah's fault.
I love when you say it's her fault. But that, I mean, that's awesome. Cause I do remember, because I went back and I watched one of the episodes that kind of drew me into it. Because I mean, I knew bits and pieces about it, but I'm a Ghost Adventures fan. I'm pretty sure I've said this multiple times, but I was rewatching their episode on it. I remember they were talking about it, and if I'm correct, they used the name, didn't they?
I think they said Mary.
Yeah, okay. I knew there was some name that they used. I wasn't too sure what it was, but I know that they also put in that there was a possibility that they heard another rumor that the nurse had actually died, like had contracted TB from working there.
Yeah, there's a lot of versions to the story. Sarah's story is totally different.
Okay.
Sarah's story is that she was a virgin. She was working up there alone on the night shift one night when another staff member came up the steps. He didn't use the elevator. She would have heard the bell ding if he'd have used the elevator. She never heard anyone. He came in the room behind her. He attacked her, raped her. She tried to fight back. She didn't want to scream and wake the kids because the fifth floor is where the sickest kids were kept.
Yeah.
She didn't want to scream and wake the kids, but she tried to fight back, but she was a tiny little thing. He got what he wanted. Somewhere in the process, he hurt my neck. They lied. That's Sarah's story.
That's so sad.
Followed by help me, help me, help me. And there's so many times when guides will be up there telling the other story. Mm-hmm. And people will say, well, while they were telling the story, I was running a recorder and I heard a scream. I heard, no, no.
Yeah.
She wants her truth told.
Yeah.
You know,
that's probably the only way she'll find
she me. Wasn't having an affair. She wasn't a bad person having an affair with a married man, you know. And so that's why she's still there. Well, that's one of the reasons why she's still there. I've asked her why she's not in heaven. She said this was heaven. She loved working with the kids up there. And, you know, that was her favorite place. So it's a sad story. Yeah,
that's
I really do. But it makes a lot more sense when you think about all the aspects of being a nurse at Waverly Hills in 1933 and working on the fifth floor at Waverly Hills. It just does not make sense to me that someone who took the sacrifices and everything that they would have had to have done to take that job for a low wage.
Yeah.
Basically $25 a week is what they were making.
Oh, wow.
To go out there in plain view of these really sick kids and hang herself. That just
doesn't make sense. It doesn't make sense. And that just hits a whole different level.
Yeah, like I said, that's a whole other book.
Now, you said you worked there for quite a few years, on and off. Aside from Sarah, was there any other like spirit that's kind of like got you or like had you going back to try to find where they're at?
William and Sadie. There's a story of a homeless guy who was found dead in the elevator shaft at Waverly and his dog. And there's a lot of different versions of that story. There's some people that say it's nothing more than an urban legend or whatever. I can tell you when I was a teenager sneaking in there, there was a guy in a army trench coat, blue jeans, black combat boots, had long stringy hair and a big bushy beard that ran us out of there a couple of times along with his white dog. And this guy, the story is that he was beaten to death by some teenagers and his body was put in the elevator shaft down off of the lobby on the first floor. And when Denise, because last year when I went to work up there, my wife Denise was one of them that came up there along with me. Mm-hmm. And when we would lock up at the end of the night last year, we would go through the entire building, and certain spirits, we know their names, certain former patients or employees, we actually know their names. So when we would go through to lock up at the end of the night, we'd say goodnight to them. We'd be like, goodnight, Lois. Goodnight, Audrey. Mm-hmm. Goodnight, John. You know, you name it.
Yeah.
Well, we get by the third floor there where William used to stay. And we say goodnight, William. And we started up the steps toward the fourth floor, got up about four or five steps on the stairwell. And from outside the door in the third floor hallway, we hear, "Good night, y'all." In that same voice that used to tell me, "Get on out of here." And we both stopped and looked at each other like, "You heard that, right?" You know, we ran down there, "Say it again. Good night. Good night." Yeah, nothing. So, you know, that was one. There's another one, John Mitchell, if you watch the Kindred Spirits episode, mm-hmm. Where Amy and Adam found the story of the guy whose children wound up going to foster care because his wife had been murdered while he was a patient there. And, you know, he was an angry spirit because of all those circumstances involved.
Yeah.
Well, Denise made it her mission to try to find his kids and everything and find out, you know, more to that story. So she spent a lot of time researching it. She found all the children and what had happened to them, you know, who they had married and were the ones that had passed away, had been buried and everything like that. And the story was a little bit different than, you know, when you piece everything together. To give, to be fair to Amy and Adam, you know, they were there for like a day doing this research. Yeah. Denise spent a month and a half, 2 months, you know, digging, peeling back the layers of the story. And the story is a little bit different than what Amy and Adam had told on the story, on the show. And so anyway, Denise went up there. She had all this stuff printed out. She went up there and she sat in the floor of room 424 where he was housed at one time and starts reading all this off to him. And he was an angry spirit. I mean, there were several times when he would slam doors or push people, scratch people, pull people's hair.
Oh, wow.
He was an ornery guy. Well, she tells him that, "I know that Lucille wasn't having an affair on you. I know what really happened. And here's your children. Your children all did great. This one went on to serve in Vietnam. And, you know, this one did this and that." And, you know, she tells all those things. And from that day forward, John Mitchell was a completely different spirit. I mean, he would come out in the hallway sometimes when Denise was telling his story in front of room 424.
Oh, wow.
Groups would be, you know, facing the group telling the story. And, you know, they're looking at us, seeing the hallway behind us, and you'd see all their faces just like, because he would come out in the hallway behind us and just kind of wave and then walk on across the hall.
Oh, wow.
You would see that. And the fourth floor has always been, you know, it's a place that people are like, "Ooh, it's dark, it's nasty up there." And, you know, I think a lot of that was that negative energy that John was exhibiting because he was angry that his wife had been murdered and the guy got acquitted.
Oh.
And, you know, and Denise kind of put him at peace, I feel, with her research and then going up there and just sitting that night by herself.
Yeah.
For 45 minutes talking to him about all this. And energy up there last year after that was just so much different. It was active, but it was not, you know, you didn't feel like, "Okay, I need company up here." You know what I mean? You know what I'm saying? You didn't feel so uncomfortable on the fourth floor anymore.
Oh, well, that's good. That's awesome. Like, I love hearing stuff like that. Cause I think like a lot of times, like spirits, they don't know what they don't know. Like, they don't know what's happened after they've passed. They don't know the truth when, you know, they're like, all the patients, they were stuck in that hospital. So anything that happened to their family on the outside that they are holding on to, they don't know anything. So that's just really sweet and heartwarming.
And that's always been our approach, you know, anywhere we go. I mean, I don't care if we go to a prison or, you know, some place that's supposedly demonic, you know, Bobby Mackey's, you know, go sit in the portal to hell, whatever, Bobby Mackey's, whatever you want to call it.
Yeah.
Our approach is spirits, by and large, are just people.
Mm-hmm.
And they want to talk. Sometimes they do, you know? I mean, so we go and listen and let them tell their story instead of trying to read it from a book or off of a Facebook post or something.
Nice.
And
now I know you run your own group. Yes. Do you guys do like whole US or do you guys just stay down south?
We have been to everything from, oh gosh, primarily when we book investigations, they're close to home. Mm-hmm. But we've done the temple in Salina, Kansas. We've Ohio State Reformatory. We've gone everywhere. Ashmore State's in Illinois.
You ever been up to Pennhurst or Eastern State?
Pennhurst is still on the list. Eastern State doesn't do investigations anymore.
Really?
Or they didn't. Last year when we were trying, or year before last, we tried to book it and they said they weren't doing.
I think that was with the COVID protocols. COVID thing? Yeah, I think that might have been what that was. But I've been to both. I did more of the Pennhurst was I didn't do the right thing. but we were going in the back entrance where the tunnel is, and we didn't make it down. Like, there's this long drive you have to take, go down. And everyone's like, oh, don't take your car there, leave your car parked somewhere else and walk down. We were about 17, 18, somewhere around there. And and we're walking, and there's this waterway right by, and we're just like, there's this huge boat in the water, and we're like, oh no. And then you started just hearing, I just kept hearing run, and I'm like, I'm out of here. And like the group I went with, they were so mad at me, and they were like, why did you run? I'm like, I literally just heard a screaming run in my ear. So I got out of there. I mean, and I want to say it took me, it was a long trip to get there, but it was what it was. Eastern State, I did the walkthrough during the day, and I have some really awesome pictures from there. But I would definitely say, like, if they open it back up, definitely come up.
I would like to. I mean, we wanted to investigate it, you know, not just take a tour. We want to. There's so many great locations. I mean, like this area, Kentucky and Tennessee, has got so many like Civil War stories and things like that associated with them. We were recently a part of a new TV program that's still in editing right now. It's supposed to be coming out this fall, called Haunted Discoveries with Brandon Alves and Mustafa Gadelari. And all of the locations are here in Kentucky.
Oh, cool.
And it's, there's some great locations. There's a lot I can't talk about, but.
Oh, I can't wait for it to come out.
It's going
to
be, it's groundbreaking. There's a piece of evidence in the first trailer that's going to come out that they caught here in Louisville, Kentucky, that is one of the most convincing pieces of evidence I've ever seen. I just.
No, I know you can't talk about it. So
like, I can't talk a lot about it, but wow. I mean, that's going to be a groundbreaking series, because anybody that knows anything about Brandon is very, Brandon Alves, he's very scientific in his approach, and Mustafa's just all over the place. You know, he's Mustafa. He's a lot of fun, but both very good investigators at the same time. And so that's just going
to
be.
So like, as soon as you get the chance to update it and put the word out, it'll be out there.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. When I can talk about, that's like some of this court stuff. As soon as I can talk about it, I will.
Court. So I will, now that we've got a lot of like background and stuff like that, I know you posted something earlier today in the Save Waverly Facebook group. I know you said you cannot get into specifics, but you said that almost you're pretty, not 100%, but almost 100% sure, like, that's going to send them running and doing a walk of shame.
Yeah.
That's good to hear.
Let's just say, they are crumbling from within.
People backtracking?
They.
Kind of, sort of.
Maybe. That might be a part of it.
Yeah.
The video they put out the other day was a gift to us.
Okay.
Because they made some claims in their video that give us ammunition for even more lawsuits against them.
Oh, okay.
And gosh, I'm trying to be careful.
No, I know. I know. That's why I was like, I know. I want to
tell as much as I can.
Yeah, but, no, that's fine. They shot
themselves in the foot because we can prove, like I've said on our website and our Facebook page all along, we've got proof of our side and we've shown everything we can to prove our side of the story. There's some things that you can't show until they're made a matter of public record in a court of law.
Yeah.
Because, you know, I mean, they say right on them, confidential, you know, yeah. And, or, you know, like when you give a deposition for an attorney or give a statement to an attorney, a lot of times if it's a recorded statement, you say, this is for, if your attorney is John Law,
yeah,
you know, this is for John Law's eyes only.
Gotcha. Yeah.
As a work progress for John Law. And so there's a lot of things that we have, you know, in these videotaped testimonies and, mm-hmm. and documents that just totally blows everything that they have had to say in their video and even in their lawsuit completely out of the water. Yeah. And a lot of that stuff is about to come to light.
Now, does somebody have a, like, did somebody get a copy of that video just in case they like take it down to try to like cover their tracks?
Well, they're going to have to take it down because they're getting a cease and desist order. They should have been served this morning.
Oh, nice. Nice. Yay.
Yeah. Yeah, we've got several copies of it on flash drives.
Now I know you've been putting up that there will be a video on your guys' end. Oh, what the heck just happened? Ooh, sorry, my camera did something stupid right there. Okay. You still there?
I'm here.
Okay.
You're kind of lagging now, but
yeah, I don't know why my computer just did something really stupid.
Paranormal.
Gotta there we go. Paranormal. Probably. I mean, my house is haunted. I'm not gonna joke. I jokingly say I have two bodies in my house. But I have two urns with my boyfriend's father and my grandfather. And yeah. My grandfather was a computer savvy one, and I
wonder. He's messing with you. He's messing with you.
Oh yeah. So sorry about that. Now my brain just we were going about there's a Thursday. You said that there's gonna be a video coming out that you guys have made. Now you guys did not hire a production team, correct?
No, we're going to film it tomorrow.
Okay.
And it's, there are, it's just our response to their video.
Okay.
We're probably not going to be able to actually show some of the documents that we were hoping to show based on a conversation with the attorneys, because some of those documents are those documents that say confidential, mm-hmm. blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
But we have them. Believe me, we have them.
Yeah.
And the video will be, I think it will have the right amount of sass and attitude based on our spokes lady.
Oh, I can't wait just to see saying. This. I've been trying to keep track of everything. I know there's like there's so much that gets put in the group that it's like you have to scroll through. I try to look for mainly stuff that you and Denise put up, and I'm like, all right, let me go here first. So you guys said if I'm correct, every weekend you guys go and do the protests.
We're actually, Charlie and I were out there last night because, you know, they do private investigation. They have guests in there every night. We're going to be there every weekend. Every night, starting at about 7 o'clock, okay. We'll be there. Plus Sunday afternoons starting at about 1 o'clock because they do a afternoon tour on Sundays.
So if somebody just wanted to like join in, they could just show up and be there
for you guys? Show up there at the corner of Paralee and Standing Oak. We put it on the page as Paralee and Dixie Highway, mm-hmm. but we've found that Dixie Highway is a highway. You know, it's like,
yeah.
So we moved it on back to Standing Oak is where we're kind of basing ourselves, which is right there by the gate. And we found it's a lot easier for people that want to pull over and ask us what's going on. You know, we can get them off to the side of the road and explain the situation to them. And
Well, that's good.
A lot of times they'll park their cars and come and join us.
I live closer, I would be out there almost every night with my kids holding up a sign too. Because
yeah, well, come on.
So
make a trip. It's not that far.
I mean, I got a lot of family that are like, come on, let's go. I'm trying to think. So basically, I want to make sure we'll have a posted on the YouTube page and on the spot of when this releases on the podcast. I can't talk right now. We'll have the intersection put up so that way people who want to go and be there can be there and they'll know where to meet up. I want to make sure I get as much out there as possible. And then do you want to talk a little bit more about the Save Waverly group as what the whole thing is? I know that anyone can join it. Yes. Now I haven't gone through every single post because there is a lot. There is a lot. But have you found that you've got people infiltrating to try to like cause problems?
Oh yeah. Yeah. And I think if you've been scrolling through, you've probably seen some of that. People are like, you know, you say you've got proof. So where is it? You know, well, there's some things you can't show because this is a lawsuit.
Yeah. You know? I don't think people understand that.
Yeah.
But
we've had trolls. We founded the group to raise funds for Charlie's legal defense. Mm-hmm. We started a website. We've got merchandise on the website like this cool shirt. We've got several different designs of shirts and hoodies.
I've seen a few of them. They're nice.
We've got tumblers and stickers and pins and just all kinds of things on there that you know, we're raising funds, putting the merchandise out there with the income we're bringing in off of that merchandise. We're buying more merchandise to sell and giving the rest to Charlie for his legal defense. And
that's cool.
Everything that we're doing, we've had events. We got another event coming up Friday, the 13th of May.
Mm-hmm.
It's an investigation at the Roz Opera House in Cynthiana, Kentucky, which is up near Lexington. You should come and join us. It's going to be hosted by the Wicked Wolf Pack, which is basically the overnight team from Waverly Hills last year. And Roz Opera House is a very haunted location. It's no Waverly Hills, of course, but it's a very haunted location.
And nothing compares to Waverly Hills, though.
It really doesn't. I mean, I've been all over, you know, all over. I can't really name all the places because there's a lot, but nothing has that vibe that Waverly, and it could just be, you know, my personal bias, but nothing has that same vibe that Waverly has. Waverly is one of those places when you come up the hill and you see the building, it's like there's a vibration that just instantly fills the air, you know?
Yeah.
And everybody, you know, first timers have described that to me, that same feeling and everything, that, you know, it's just a place that it's a special place.
And it definitely sounds like it. Like that sounds like somewhere you're just like, yes, this is my Zen place.
Mm-hmm.
So aside from Waverly Hills, what is a bucket list, like number one place that you want to investigate?
Tombstone.
Okay.
Like the Birdcage and all that. I've always been into Westerns and, you know, the cowboy thing and all that, and Wyatt Earp. And I just think that Tombstone is a cool place. I've seen a few of the shows that have been done there and
yeah.
some of the evidence they've caught there. And it looks like a really
that
cool.
It's going to be so much fun.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, there's tons of them. I mean, gosh, I mean, there's so much. I'm a history buff, you know, and I think most of us in this field kind of have at least a little bit of that in us.
You kind of have to be, yeah. Honestly.
Yeah. And I mean, there's so much history. I mean, heck, world, you know, you go back to world history, things like, you know, the Tower of London or, mm-hmm. you know,
yeah.
I mean, there's some of those old castles and, oh, you know,
yeah.
Dracul's castle, you know, they call it Dracula's castle, but you know, Dracul.
I think I want to eventually get brave enough to go to the Shanghai tunnels.
Yeah.
I'm like
Suicide Forest.
Yeah. There's so many places. Like I know there's Aokigahara. Yeah. That is one of like, it's a bucket list, but it's also one of those. I gotta teeter that fine line there.
Right. Right. I'm not afraid of the paranormal at all. I mean, I've seen a little bit of everything in the paranormal from Bigfoot to, you know,
yeah,
demonic possession. I mean, I've seen a little bit of everything over the years, but there's some places that I think I might feel a little uneasy, you know?
Yeah, I think so. For my feeling is I'm okay with almost everything. Things like spirits don't bother me. Honestly, I have two that have literally followed me since I was a kid. I no longer am like, I'm not afraid of them. I was when I was younger because, you know, I didn't know who this little boy was in my living room crying every morning. And my mom was like, I don't know what you're talking about. I'm like, you don't hear that?
Yeah.
But it was always, I mean, I'm okay with that. But I think if I was to go there and see a body hanging out of a tree or somebody, I think I would probably run and end up getting lost.
Yeah.
Just because that is like a, oh crap. Like, yeah. I wasn't expecting.
It's the same kind of thing with, you know, I love horror movies mm-hmm. and, you know, I mean, serial killer documentaries and all that kind of thing. But like, if I come down the highway and there's a bad wreck and someone is mangled, I am not okay with that at all.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yes. It's a totally different thing.
Same kind of thing, I think, is what you're saying.
Yeah. I know. So I like a lot of the stuff on my channel is about serial killers and mass murders and stuff like that. And yeah, I've been tiptoeing into getting out all like the paranormal stuff that I've been really interested in. Mm-hmm. But I have to say my biggest thing that I try to like, I can talk about it, but then I need like a month to like recover is the research on children. Yes. Anything that involves children being murdered, I'm done. I can't do it. That's why, like, I can just imagine, like, you guys have kids' spirits at Waverly too. Like,
yes,
that's got to be emotional when they like make contact.
Yeah, it is. It is. But they're playful. I mean, the first time I encountered one there was I was giving a tour many years ago, probably back in 2011 or 2012. Mm-hmm. I mean, I'd seen the balls, you know, children playing with the ball, you know, where the ball would roll, you roll the ball and it would come back to you or whatever. I'd seen that before, but actually seeing a full bodied apparition of a child, I'm walking down the hall. I had a couple of ladies, girls walking behind me. Mm-hmm. I'm walking down the hall and I'm talking to him, you know, just telling him about, you know, we're headed down now to the OR or whatever. I forget where we were headed. And I kind of look over and there's this girl standing right there inside one of the patient rooms. She had just black holes where her eyes would be. And I look over and I just kind of stopped. And then those girls screamed and I knew they had seen it too.
Yeah.
And, you know, they screamed and like grabbed me and I'll be honest, we both kind of ran a little bit, you know, because, you know, I mean, you just don't, you know, I mean, we're just having a conversation as we're walking down the hall, you know, and then boom, you know, right there, 6 feet from me stands this girl with no eyes. And yeah, but then, you know, I went back and was like, hello, and there's nobody there.
Yeah. Oh, wow.
So.
No, that see it's stuff like that that just like literally gives me the chills and I'm just like, oh
yeah,
because I feel like when you run into kid spirits, it's it's kind of different. It hits you very differently. Like, yes, they startle you, but then you're like, oh crap, I just ran. Let me quickly go back and be like, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to run from you. You just startled me.
Right. Yeah. That was kind of, I mean, I had to kind of force myself to go back to that room, you know, cause I mean, it, you know, you get a jump scare. I don't care how long you've been doing this. You know, if a door slams in your face or you come around a corner and there's something there, you're going to get a jump scare. Now I'm not afraid to, you know, go into a location or whatever, but you know, I mean, I get jump scares.
Yeah. I feel so like I can't say
force myself to go back around there, but that's what I was wanting to do. Just like with Sarah, you know, I mean, if they've got a story to tell, I want to hear it. You know, if they're trying to get my attention for some reason, I'm here to listen, you know? And so, you know, I went back in there. I'm like, hello, are you here? Did you want to talk? And, you know, I looked all around and listened and stood there for a minute and there was nothing. And so I went on with the tour.
There was, I had one experience kind of similar to that, but, there was a penitentiary, I wouldn't say it was a penitentiary, but it was Ghost Adventures, again, did an episode, and I only know about it because it was so funny. I had no idea that they were even there. I forget the name of the place. It's up in North Jersey. I'm pretty sure it's all been torn down, but we were just walking around all the different buildings and whatnot, taking pictures, and I mean, clearly they were saying it was being torn down. You know, there were signs everywhere. Do not trespass. Do not enter, you know. So we didn't enter the building itself. But what ended up happening was, is me and this group of friends, we were taking pictures and, you know, they were walking up onto, I guess it's like just like this little patio that was just sitting out on one of the buildings, but it was a decent size. And they were just trying to look in. And when they looked in, something shot across from like the middle of the room down a hallway. And we're like, oh, well, going back through my pictures, I had caught a picture of a little girl in the window of like the top, just kind of like, and then the next picture she's gone. And I'm like, oh, we were walking out, like we were getting ready to leave, a cop pulls up. And he's like, you guys went inside. I saw you. And we're like, no, you didn't, boss. We did not go inside. All the locks are still locked. We didn't go in. I saw you guys inside. And we're like, no, but we did see somebody running in there. And I show him the picture and the guy immediately just stopped talking. He goes, get your stuff and get out. And we're just like, what? He goes, ever since that ghost show's been here and they weren't supposed to put the location, we're like, what show are you talking about? The show didn't even air for another couple months, I think. So we had no idea who they were talking about until I saw the video. And I was like, oh. And I was just like, so wait a minute. This cop was very adamant that we were inside and he saw us inside. And we're like, we didn't go in. Another officer had saw us, you know, get back in the car. And he was like, let me see your pictures. And you know, we're showing him and whatnot. And he was just like, oh, so that's why he sent you guys. He goes, you guys weren't inside. And we're like, no, we can show you everything. It's all from outside. And he was like, okay, just, you know, don't go back over there. Don't go back in. The place is condemned. You know, we're trying to tear it down. And I mean, he was a lot nicer and he was just like, but you're not the first person that is adamantly refused it and showed pictures of this girl. And he was like, so we're just gonna end it here, have fun. And we're just like, holy crap.
Yeah
it's there's, just so interesting.
I've got a lot of friends in law enforcement and pretty much every one of them is a firm believer in the paranormal because they get calls a lot of times for things like that. You know, security camera sees someone in a building and they think they've got a good break-in, you know, and they'll go guns drawn and search the entire place. No, there's nobody there. You know, I mean, we used to have a lot of them that would come for tours at Waverly and, you know, and investigations at Waverly. So
Well, that's entertaining on its own. I know you said you have another podcast to do a little later, so I'm not going to take up too much more of your time.
You're fine. I don't have to be on for another 2 hours, so we can yap for A little bit longer if you want to.
Sweet.
I wanted to tell you something about the Ghost Adventures episode at Waverly. You said you used that for some review.
Yep.
You remember the EVP they caught in the OR?
Yes.
They had bad heartbeats.
Mm-hmm.
That's not at all what it said.
It didn't sound like that's what it said.
It's a better EVP than they think they caught,
mm-hmm.
but they didn't get the backstory of what Zach was actually describing when he was asking the questions and they got that EVP. There's a procedure they would do in the OR at Waverly,
mm-hmm.
where they would cut the chest open, pull the tissue back, remove dead tissue from around the lungs.
Mm-hmm.
Then they would cut out ribs to allow the lung to expand because the lung would swell. And they thought, you know, if they could expand more, you know, without the ribs inhibiting that,
mm-hmm.
people could breathe a little better and might keep them alive.
Yeah.
It was a last ditch voluntary procedure. It was known as thoracoplasty. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So when they got that EVP, Zach was asking the question, did they cut your chest open and pull the meat back and cut your ribs out or something like to that effect? Yeah. And that's when they caught the EVP. Go back and listen to it when we get off here.
Mm-hmm.
It's very clear that the spirit said it's called thoracoplasty. That's what the spirit said.
Oh.
And they didn't know that word, so they're listening through their headphones, you know, and the best they can come up with, they had bad heartbeats. No.
Yeah. I was about to say, it didn't sound like what they thought. But there's been a couple of theirs that I'm like, you hear what they put up on the screen when they're saying this is what they
heard. Put it in your head. Yeah.
So it does that, but if you just kind of block that out, you can hear something different. I mean, now granted, they've gotten some good ones that are just clear,
plain as day. Yeah, class A, no doubt about what they're saying. But that's, I mean, you know, if you've done a lot of this, I mean, we've had it, you know, amongst our own team where we get one and we'll hear three different people hear three different things.
Yeah.
You know, but.
Oh, that's cool.
I mean, that would, go back and listen to that and message me. Tell me if you don't agree that that's what the spirit is saying. It's
called. Oh, yeah. As soon as we get off, I'm going to be like, right back on it. Because that's, there's so many that I do like to go back over. And I'm actually going to look up the other episodes that you were telling me about. Because like I said, my biggest thing, I've seen the Ghost Hunters. I've seen Ghost Adventures. I know that Supernatural has talked about Waverly Hills.
Didn't actually film there. Set Waverly Hills as a location.
Yeah. I about to say when they talked about it, I was just like, that's not, no.
Not quite, but it's
entertaining. I see what they were doing there, but it wasn't.
It's entertaining and it's advertising for the building. So yeah,
why not? Yeah. But no, so I kind of just wanted to talk a little bit more about what people can do to help continue keeping this going. Because I mean, from what you're saying, like this might almost be done. Hopefully. Well,
at least the first stage might be done. And the first stage was defeating this lawsuit.
Okay.
But Tina and Charlie won't truly be able to be back in charge and back in their home until we can remove the WHHS from the property.
Okay.
And so that's going to be phase two of this battle.
Now, can't they just do the same thing that the WHA lawyers did and just say, here, you have this amount of days to get off since it is their property?
Well, they've actually already sent them eviction papers, but they're refusing them. They said they've got a 99-year lease that you can't cancel. So it's going to take funds to take them to court to get them out.
That's insane. Yeah.
But the best thing anyone can do to help win this war is to contribute in some way.
Mm-hmm.
Like I say, we've got the website. There's a GoFundMe link on the website. And we've got merchandise that for a very reasonable price.
Mm-hmm.
It's one of a kind merchandise that you'll only find on SaveWaverlyHills.com. And it's really cool stuff. The shirt, let me show you what the back of this shirt looks like. It's got a little saying on there that Charlie loves. He's a big Yellowstone fan. I don't know how well you can see this, but it says, it's one constant in life. If you build something worth having, someone's going to try to take it. John yes. Dutton. It's a John Dutton quote. And that's, if you can't tell, that's Fred the Gargoyle that stands at the corner of Waverly Hills.
Oh, okay. I was about to say, I could tell it was something.
Yeah, it's a gargoyle. It's hard awesome. To see on this camera on this computer is crappy.
No, you're good.
But we've got a lot of different designs. And, you know, all those funds go to help Charlie's legal expenses. We've got, like I said, the event coming up at the Roz Opera House, May 13th. Mm-hmm. There will be a ticket link in there. You just scroll through the, you can find that. Just spread the word. I mean, tell all your paranormal people, all your people. Because, you know, I mean, it's more than just the paranormal community that needs to know what's going on. We had Jason Hawes a couple weeks ago. He shared our page on his page. And then we, like, doubled our group size basically overnight after he did that. Nice. And then a couple of days ago, he shared the video that the WHHS made. And everybody's like, well, it looks like Jason has flipped. Well, Jason's just being fair and putting out both sides of the story.
Yeah. Understandably so.
That's understandable. Yeah, I don't have a problem with that. I mean, I sat down with Jason at the Las Vegas Paracon and talked about this a little bit. He is very close with Tina. I mean, they used to play Words with Friends all the time. And, you know,
Words with Friends.
Oh. I mean, they're friends. I mean, yeah. He's not just someone that came and did a TV show a couple of times up there. They're actually friends. And, you know, Tina's been reluctant to talk much about this.
Yeah.
And he said he's tried to reach out to her. And, you know, it's just a matter of him wanting to know both sides of the story and tell both sides of the story.
Yeah.
I got several other people in the paranormal, you know, that are well-known people in the paranormal community that are trying to get all the information before they come out and make a statement of their own.
Understandable.
On either side. A couple folks are going to call me this evening and talk about it that, we're on Ghost Hunters. Nice. So.
Yeah, I did go through and see a lot of people were like, oh, well, if this person was at there and their production, you know, they did a production there, they should be right there on their side. And it's like, I understand where a lot of them are like, look, you know, it's not just that person. There's also a whole nother backing behind them. Like if they do this, what's their network going to say? What's their producers going to say? Exactly. And I think that's where a lot of people need to realize that, yes, we're their people. Sometimes there's another hand that also they have to talk to.
Exactly. Yeah. They can't just come out and make a statement.
Yeah.
I mean, they've got publicists, they've got sponsors, they've got production companies and networks that all have a say in what they have to say. Yes. And, you know.
Well, luckily we don't have that here.
Right.
It's honestly this place, it's just me. My co-host Brianna, she'll hop on when she can. But I mean, I think I solo started it in July of last year. And I think I'm the most recognizable voice on here. So when people were like, I had a couple of messages me and they're like, you have a podcast? I'm like, yeah. Yeah. And they're like, well, who does your production? I'm like,
that'd be me. Yeah.
Like me. I'm like, well, how do you set everything up? And I'm like, honestly, behind this curtain, there's a whole room behind me. And I just don't want anybody to see it. This isn't right. a green screen.
Yeah. My dirty laundry is right over there in the corner. And the litter box is behind that.
I have a crafting corner behind me. And I'm just like, no, there's no production. This is literally just me.
Right.
Quickly trying to get things situated because I don't have a set spot, but
right.
I have kids. kids can hear.
This computer is sitting on a piece of scrap drywall that's from where we built the Pac-Man Paranormal office downstairs.
Nice.
This is the new Pac-Man Paranormal office here in the spare bedroom of our house. You know, we're not anything fancy either. We did a podcast for a long time on Paranormal Warehouse. Mm-hmm. And we would have 12, 14,000 viewers. We were often the most popular podcast on there. And Denise and I are the least tech savvy people in the world. You know, I just got a new phone the other night. And I'm still trying to figure out how to use it. That's why I had to have you send me the link to this through Messenger, because I couldn't figure out how to get into the right email account on this new phone. You know, I mean, we're just not tech savvy.
Yeah, that's all good though. I mean, you're tech savvy enough to do this stuff. So, I mean, that's really all that matters.
Right. Exactly. Exactly.
But I really want to thank you for your time and coming on and talking about this and kind of like just explaining a little bit more so that way people have a general idea of, oh, so this is really what's happening. Cause there are a lot of people that have just been on the Waverly Hills page and have no idea that there's all this going on behind the scenes. Right, there's people that don't even know. Like I said, I'm guilty of not even knowing, because it wasn't until my sister saw it and she was like, she sent it to me immediately. And she was like, did you see this? And I'm like, no. And then she added me to the group. And I thought it was a group she made until I started getting into it. And I was like, oh.
Yeah.
Oh, this is deep.
And you know what? Another layer to this is, you know, you mentioned you go to the Waverly Hills page, you don't see anything about this. If anyone mentions it over there, they get blocked and their comments deleted. They're so afraid of the truth.
Yeah, I saw that. I know. I think one of my comments on their page has stayed up, but only one. And that was me when they were like, it was on their PR video. And I basically was like, well, if you have a legal lease, it should be public knowledge. Where can we view this? And there's so many people that were like, I second this. Where is this? And it's been ignored.
Yeah.
And you're just like,
well, have a legal lease, but a lease, you know, I lease this home.
Yeah.
If the landlord doesn't approve of me tearing out a wall, I can't do it.
Yeah.
Or putting up a wall. I can't do it. I've got to have him allow him to come in here and see what I'm going to do and approve what I'm going to do before I do it. That's just one of the things that they're violating up there is part of their lease.
Yeah.
They're putting in offices, tearing down walls, name it.
If I'm correct,
I'm telling Charlie he can't even come in to look at what they're doing,
which is illegal since he owns the building and owns the property. Right. So that's why I just don't understand. And didn't you say that they're turning a lot of the building into office spaces?
Well, the children's cafeteria, mm-hmm. Anyone that's been to Waverly Hills, if you're familiar with the cafeteria, it's a large room on the second floor over top of the morgue wing of the building. Where that room narrows down at the back end of it, that was the children's cafeteria and was always one of my favorite places to investigate. If you wanted to get the children to play with the ball, that was the place to go.
Yeah.
We got a lot of great EVPs out of there from children and a lot of great activity in that area. Well, now that's all walled off and divided up into office space. The auxiliary morgue, which is another one of the more active parts of the building, that's now the gift shop.
So they're taking the most active places that's in there and just pissing these people off.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, that's not good.
No.
Oh, that is really not good, because all that's going to do is just kind of turn them from being like playful spirits to vengeful, because you're messing up their routine. Because I mean, I don't care what anybody says, even in the afterlife, they have a routine.
Exactly.
Oh, wow. I didn't think it was like to that degree. I thought maybe it was like some of the patient rooms. I didn't know it was to that degree. Holy cow.
Yeah. And they're just getting started. They want to put a museum in there. And, you know, all this stuff sounds so good, you know, because, you know, they're, you know, claiming that they're, you know, all about telling the history of the building and the history of the tuberculosis epidemic, and all of that. They're, you know, they that's their facade that they put up. Mm-hmm. The fact is they know nothing about the paranormal. And without the paranormal community, that place would have been rubble a long time ago.
Yeah.
And so they don't know the significance of certain areas paranormal wise. And they don't care because they're making money.
The other thing that bothers me is they're supposedly a historical society that's put it, the their main goal is
to have a historian on staff.
Well, but so the other thing is like, not only that, but that they don't have a historian on staff, but you claim to care and want to restore it, but yet instead of restoring it, you're changing things and taking it away from what the actual end goal is of restoring it to its original state.
Exactly. If you want to build offices for you and your friends who you're paying six figures to go sit in for 5 or 6 hours a day before they go have tequila at La Carreta restaurant every afternoon. If you want to do that, why don't you build yourself a separate building and call it the Waverly Hills Historical Society office?
That sounds better than, you know, tearing out
a part of... taking away from the building itself. When you claim that you want to do things historically accurate.
Yeah.
Well, historically, those offices were the children's cafeteria. They were not your office for you to sit around and eat donuts in. Just saying.
No, I'm actually, that's frustrating me even more because, like, I mean, I was already kind of upset about this whole thing and to begin with, because, like, I'm really big on, like you said, in this community, you're a history buff. You have to be. You have to enjoy the history to enjoy what you're doing, kind of. Right. But to know that there are literally all them doing this is just going to add more work for Charlie and Tina when they do get the place back to restore this whole area that didn't need to be really messed with.
Right.
Oh, right. Man, frustration.
Yeah.
I know, like, I understand, like, I mean, I understood everybody's frustration with it to begin with, like, this whole, it's not fair, it's not right, but it's like, you can't claim to love something and then destroy it in the same breath.
Right, right, exactly. I mean, you know, not only are we going to have to, you know, try to do what we can to restore things to where they were before the Historical Society from a, you know, like the children's cafeteria from that aspect. But we had several temporary walls and wiring and props and everything in one wing of the building that we kept locked up because it was just, it was a big part of the haunted house. And so we left it intact for the most part year round because the haunted house, it runs the entire first floor of the building, okay? And it being the biggest fundraiser and such a big part of why Waverly is still standing, you know, we wanted to make sure that we always had everything ready to go. And because Charlie was not paying contractors to build those walls or bring in the props and set all that stuff up, it was Charlie, his son, and a few employees that at the end of tour season, at the end of August, they would have like 6 weeks to set up this entire first floor for a haunted, a world-class haunted house, not just, you know, your basic haunted house. It's Waverly Hills haunted house. So it had to be better. You know what I mean? And so we left all that stuff intact. Well, since last July, when I quit toward the end of July last year, somewhere between then and a month or so ago, all those walls got taken out. All the DMX systems for the wiring, the low voltage lighting and everything that would be used for the smoke machines and the lights and the lasers and everything that was used in the haunted house. All that was, the wires were cut on that and stripped out. All the props have been removed. We don't know. We've heard that several of them were given away or thrown away. And you're talking about thousands and thousands of dollars worth of equipment gone.
And they think they're going to make the money back without doing the haunted house.
At one point they had this brilliant idea. They were going to do two private overnights a night. You know,
how would that work?
One from 6 till midnight, one from midnight till 6 a.m.
Okay.
And charge people full price for 2 hours less.
Wow. Yeah. Wow.
Yeah. Greed. It's all about
greed. That is... money really brings out people's true colors.
Yeah, it does.
That's just very, like, frustrating. Just to, I don't know. Like I said, I'm like so invested in this. Like when you can talk about more, I would love to have you back on and update everybody.
And when we get the building back in Charlie's hands, whether I'm in charge or not, I'm going to be a part of helping them get the reputation built back. We're going to have a major PR push to try to say, hey, it's safe to come back now. Yeah. You know what I mean? And I'd love to keep, you know, following up with you on this to help spread about everything that's going on as it plays out.
Oh, I would love that. Yeah. Because this is something that I'm so invested in. And I know quite a few listeners that are going to be listening to this or watching this, wherever they're listening or watching, that are already invested and want to know more and want to keep up to date. So for everyone that is listening on Spotify or wherever you're listening, go to www.savewaverlyhills.com, and all the information you need to donate and everything will be on that website. You can also follow us on Facebook. I say us, but you know, you can follow the groups on Facebook. So you can follow the Save Waverly Hills group on Facebook. As Ernie said, that is public to everyone. So just hit that apply button, get in on the conversation. And if you can get down there, I would definitely say, get down there, get your signs out. Rock out.
This Saturday night, we'd love to have a massive crowd there. I think we're going to have quite a bit of media there, TV news channels and newspaper, you name it. So we're trying to get a big crowd out there for that. And we might have some big announcements to make Saturday night. Who knows?
Oh, well, that's good to hear.
Yeah.
Well, Ernie, I thank you so much for all your time. I know, like you said, you have another podcast later on this evening. And I know you usually post that up in the group too, right? When you do other stuff. Yeah.
Yeah.
So everyone,
anytime they air, you know, I'll share the link, you know, when I know it's going to air, which I don't know when we're going to air this one just yet, but
I mean, I'm probably going to go through and put this up tonight. Okay. I do a lot of raw footage up, so with not too much editing, except for when I say 50 million times. It is what it is. It'll most likely be up later on tonight. Most likely probably around 7. So the time you're starting your other podcast, I'll probably have this one running. All depends on computers.
Right. I understand that.
Because everything likes to be slow and it doesn't always like me.
I understand that completely.
So you heard it. Go follow them. Donate. Do what you can and help out. Thank you guys. Stay spooky.
Thank you all.
And
we're still on.
Yep.